Iran and P5 Plus One launched the second day of talks in Moscow. Iran to start mass production of new anti-armor weapon systems in the near future. Angry Egyptians protest apparent power grab by the military council. Pakistan's top court dismisses Prime Minister Gilani for contempt. And striking Spanish coal miners fire homemade rockets at the police to protest job cuts. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Iran and the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany, known as the P5 plus one, have launched the second day of their latest talks in the Russian capital, Moscow. The two sides decided to attend another round of talks in Moscow after several intensive bilateral meetings between Tehran's lead negotiator, Saeed Jalili, and his Russian and EU counterparts. After four rather lengthy sessions on Monday and Tuesday, head of the Russian delegation, Sergei Ryabkov, met with Jalili, followed by a similar meeting between Jalili and EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton, who heads the team of negotiators from the P5 plus one. Iran and the P5 plus one held several rounds of talks in Baghdad on May 23 and 24. The Baghdad meeting came after Iran and the P5 plus one resumed negotiations in Istanbul on April 14 after more than a year of stalled talks. The Iranian Defense Minister announced on Tuesday that his ministry plans to start mass production of new anti-armor weapon systems in the near future, addressing a ceremony to mark the martyrdom anniversary of Iran's former Defense Minister Mustafa Chamran in 1981. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi said, Iran has named its new anti-armor weapon as the Dehlaviye, the name of the place where Dr. Chamran was martyred. Last August, the Iranian Defense Ministry started mass production of 73-millimeter anti-armor rockets capable of piercing and destroying armored vehicles from a 1,300-meter distance. Tehran launched an arms development program during the 1980-88 Iraqi post-war in Iran to compensate for a U.S. weapons embargo. Since 1992, Iran has produced its own tanks, armored personnel carriers, missiles, and fighter planes. Tehran has always stressed that the country's military and arms programs serve defensive purposes and should not be perceived as a threat to any other country. Egyptians angry at an apparent power grab by the military protested across the country on Tuesday. Egypt's military rulers have stripped the presidential office of its most important powers and dissolved the Islamist-dominated parliament just hours before Islamist candidate Mohamed Morsi claimed victory as the newly elected president. Members of the dissolved parliament gathered outside of parliament on Tuesday, but heavy security prevented them from entering the building. The power grab by the ruling generals delivered another major blow to hopes for a democratic transition born out of last year's uprising that ousted authoritarian president Hosni Mubarak.
It's a military coup, but the military council underestimates us and claims that it is a court's ruling and we are committed to it. But we want to say it doesn't work that way. We and the Egyptian people are the 25th of January revolution members. We don't recognize this ruling at all. We do not recognize it because it is void.
What's going on is that the military council wants to rule us by force. If you want to rule us, kill us first. We won't stay silent. This parliament was formed by the people's will.
Pakistan's top court dismissed the prime minister for contempt on Tuesday. The Supreme Court's ruling was a major escalation in a long-running confrontation between the judges and the government and appeared to be a knockout blow against Prime Minister Yousaf Reza Gilani, effectively dismissing his cabinet as well. Gilani was convicted in April for contempt of court for refusing to open a corruption probe against President Asif Ali Zardari, dating back to the 1990s.
The court has said that after his conviction on the 26th of April 2012, he has been disqualified as a member of the parliament and consequently as the prime minister of the country. And that the election commission has been directed to issue a notification that he has ceased to be member of the National Assembly and consequently the Prime Minister with effect from 26th of April 2012, and that the President has been directed to act according to the Constitution by taking further steps of the Constitution, naturally for the election of the new Prime Minister.
That this is a golden day in the Pakistan's history, whereby it has been held that whether it's the Prime Minister of the country, whether if it's the son of the Chief Justice, or whether it's any other layman, all are equal before the eyes of law.
Agli Bari! Agli Bari! Agli Bari!
And another U.S.-led foreign soldier has been killed in southern Afghanistan as violence picks up once again in the war-weary nation. The latest death came on Tuesday, one day after three gunmen in Afghan police uniforms on Monday killed a U.S. soldier and injured eight other American troops in the south. Also, in an overnight attack, Taliban militants targeted the U.S. base in Kandahar province. According to official figures, more than 3,050 U.S.-led soldiers have been killed in, 305 soldiers killed in Afghanistan since the invasion of the country in 2001. Insecurity continues to rage across Afghanistan, despite the presence of about 130,000 U.S.-led troops in the country. The increasing number of military casualties in Afghanistan has caused widespread anger in the U.S. and other NATO member states, undermining public support for the prolonged war in Afghanistan. Well, I have to make a correction. The U.S. soldiers who have died since the invasion of U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan is 3,050. And now a recap of our top stories. Iran and P5 Plus One launched the second day of talks in Moscow. Iran to start mass production of new anti-armor weapon systems in near future. Angry Egyptians protest apparent power grab by the military council. Pakistan's top court dismisses Prime Minister Gilani for contempt. And striking Spanish coal miners fire homemade rockets at police to protest job cuts. A mosque in the occupied West Bank was set ablaze early on Tuesday in an attack by Zionist settlers. The attack happened before sunrise in the village of Jabba outside Ramallah. The mosque vandalism came as a July 1st deadline approaches for Netanyahu's government, in accordance with a court ruling to tear down illegal settlements.
At 1 o'clock at night, we heard a screaming from the village people that the mosque was on fire, and all people, more than 300, went to help, and we managed to put it out. After that, we realized that there were slogans written on the wall, racist things. And we weren't surprised, because it is a settler's habit to burn down God's houses and the name of God, and they marked it with their stamp.
According to a report by the British Trades Union Congress, Britain's long-term youth unemployment has increased by almost 900% in just over a decade. The TUC report says the number of 18 to 24-year-olds out of work for more than a year has soared by 874% since 2000. The British Employment Minister has put the blame on the previous Labour government, claiming it had hid the true extent of the problem. Britain is currently suffering from an unemployment rate of nearly 8.5%, with almost 2.7 million people jobless. Meanwhile, an experience study for The Guardian has revealed that almost 7 million adults of working age in Britain face money woes, finding it difficult to feed themselves and their families. It also said about 3.6 million households are not able to live on their income and are struggling to feed themselves because they have no assets or savings to fall back on. Striking Spanish coal miners fired homemade rockets on Tuesday and shot rocks from slingshots to drive police out of a town where the protesters had cut off a highway and railroad service. There were no immediate reports of serious injuries in the violence, but some miners were hit by rubber bullets. Miners say about 80 officers firing rubber bullets were repelled by hundreds of miners and forced to retreat after authorities tried to remove the barricades. Relatives of the miners all over the village were cheering miners and shouting at the police. The miners fear government mining subsidy cuts will devastate their industry. Spain is applying across the board cutbacks as part of an austerity-driven economic overhaul to slash its sovereign deficit. But the cuts come with Spain's unemployment rate at nearly 25%. Greek politicians were confident of forming a coalition government on Tuesday in a bid to resolve the political uncertainty that still hovers over the country. They said the coalition process had accelerated after their morning meeting. It looks likely that conservative New Democracy Party and the Socialist Movement, both pro-bailout parties that have dominated politics for decades in Greece, will share power with a smaller moderate left party, Democratic Left. With Greece just weeks away from running out of cash and a new government needed to negotiate the next installment of funds from lenders, Greek political leaders appear determined to avert the deadlock that followed an inconclusive vote on May 6. A recent international study from Harvard Medical School has found that people who live alone and suffer from heart disease mostly die sooner than those who have been living with others. In previous studies, the researchers related social isolation to several ailments ranging from heart attacks to weakened immune system. However, the current study, which looked at over 44,000 people, only focused on people with heart disease or at high risk of it. Scientists also called on cardiologists to routinely ask elder patients if they live on their own, and that if the answer is yes, that might be a red flag, and they should make sure the patients have a way to get their medicine regularly. And with that, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Goodbye now.